Romans chapter number 8. Are you there? Thank God. Thank God we're in church tonight. Romans 8, and I want you to go down to verse 28. If y'all mark your Bible when I preach, you might see my name on this chapter several times. And if I get to preach here much longer, you'll probably see it several more times. It is probably one of the greatest passages of Scripture in the Bible. If you can grasp this, you got it. But I know a lot of people stumble over this. Don't understand it. I don't give it to you tonight. Romans chapter number 8. Look at verse 28. I'll let you be seated tonight. I really want you to focus on your scripture tonight. Romans 8, 28. Are you there? And we know, I like that, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed, listen to that, that's real important, to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Listen to this. This is in the Bible. Is it in yours? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sore? That is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Now here it really gets to the apex. Is this in y'all's Bible? How many? Wait a minute. When I read this, I want to make sure all y'all vote and tell me it was in your Bible, okay? I just want to know that, okay? All right, I'm going to read it. Then you tell me if it's in your Bible, what I'm reading. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If that's in your Bible, raise your hand. Just wondered. Ain't that great preaching stuff right there? I'm preaching tonight. I love the book of Romans, by the way. It is a powerful book of doctrine. And you know, that's a nasty word in some churches. But ladies and gentlemen, it is a Bible word. It just means teaching. Doctrine. You say, well, my church got all kinds of doctrines. Well, don't you know something? My church has one doctrine. Hello. And by the way, it is centered around the gospel. I believe the gospel is the good news. Somebody say amen. I believe the gospel is the greatest message, the most needed message, the most powerful message in this whole world. Paul in the book of Romans deals with the principles of the gospel and the practice of the gospel. Now I'm still going. I'll give you my text or my title in a moment. Romans chapter 7. I'll back you up for a moment. If I could display or explain what Romans 7 is about, it's really what life looks like in the flesh. And by the way, when you look at your life in the flesh, it's ugly. It's a life of struggle. It's difficult. Somebody help me preach. You know what Paul said, the great Paul said? He said, when I try to do good, I'm always doing bad. And when I seek not to do bad, I do bad anyhow. You said, why, preacher? Because this flesh cannot please God. This flesh will never please God. You cannot do one thing positive in your flesh. Your flesh will not and has never pleased God. Then chapter 8, the tone changes. Because we go on from the flesh life to the spirit life. Somebody help me right there. I'm getting happy right now. See, I don't know how people live without God. Somebody, right? Amen? Hey, you ought to go back to B.C. You say, what's B.C.? Before you got saved. Before Christ. I want to tell you, my life was a mess before I got saved. But I want you to know, since I got saved, oh boy, since I got saved, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Whew. See, I want you to know you've got to enter into the greatest place tonight. You say, where is the greatest place, Pastor John? The greatest place you can be tonight is in Christ. When you're in Christ, you got a new life. When you're in Christ, you got a new Lord. I want you to know when I got saved, I got a new commander. When I got saved, I got a good new controller. When I got saved, I got a new coach. Whoa! I sense a little preach on this old man. And then at the end of the chapter, or chapter 8, it's going to deal with a subject. A struggle a lot of people have. And that struggle is with security. Somebody help me. I'm going to say it again. I'm in Christ, but that doesn't mean I'm not attacked by Satan. That doesn't mean that unseen things don't come and try to sidetrack me. Somebody say amen. When you got saved, you got salvation and it's secure salvation. We get bombarded by sin. We get bombarded by Satan. But I want to thank God tonight that I am in Christ. I had a call 2 months ago. From a couple of people I preached at the church, and I ain't going to tell you the church, okay? Because I really don't want to. But it was south, and they were devastated. They were so upset they done thought they lost their salvation. And here's what happened. Their pastor fell into sin, and once he fell into sin, he denied everything. He denied the virgin birth. He denied the resurrection. He denied the gospel. He denied salvation. He denied eternal security. He denied it all. And I'll tell you what happened. There's several in that church left church and are not in church now. And these two particular people were just about on the edge of losing it. And they just called me for counsel. And I gave them some counsel. I told them my security is not in that man. My security tonight is in Jesus. Upon Christ, the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. Somebody help me. I'm going to preach on 2 points tonight. That's not many. But it ain't my main points. It's all them subs I got under. It's going to be, well, it's going to be something. But can I say one more thing before I get my point tonight? You know what frustrates me? Y'all want to hear it? It's these people that go to church for a Christian happy hour. Hello? They got some little motivational guy up there in a t-shirt and a big long chain around his neck. And every time I see one of them, I want to take a chain and just jerk it tight as I can. And I think it was Pastor Chad said this, and he said it well. He said, our pastor is the worship leader here. We don't need to get some goofy looking somebody to pump us up and some smoke come out of our ground and some optics and some shine bright lights and all that. No. I tell you what you need. You need to get in the Bible. Yeah, we do a lot of shouting around here, but I want to tell you, it's got some substance to it. I ain't going to shout over some rap music gospel, some rock gospel, some good goofy stuff. I'm shouting about thus saith the word of God. I'm shouting about my security in Christ. We're talking about security on the border now, and we're talking about security in our cities. And these bunch of wacko mayors in our sanctuary cities, ain't that a bunch of junk? If they're illegal, they need to be shipped off, especially somebody committed a crime. That ain't in my message. I'm going to preach this sermon. If you don't believe in eternal security after I preach tonight, you'll never believe it because you ain't going to believe anything. You say, I don't believe that. I go to church, don't believe that. Well, you're going to church that ain't preaching the Bible. If you don't believe in eternal security, you don't believe all salvation. You don't believe all the gospel. You don't believe all the truth. Yeah, you are a miserable somebody if you think you're one day you're saved, one day you're lost, and one day you're holding on, and one day you're trying to make it through. I'm glad I'm going through because of Christ. All right. Now, got the cholesterol pumped out of me. I'm ready. Two things. On two, and I want you to write down every point I got. If you're in this room and you don't believe in eternal security or you don't understand eternal security, you write it all down, buddy. And you tell me later, if you come to me later after I preach this truth and you don't believe it, you don't want to believe it. Two things. First of all, Hold on. I see, first of all, a sovereign predestination. Some of you just took a deep breath. You said, what's predestined mean? Pre means before. And the word ordained means to assign. You know what I'm trying to tell you? God is the one that's orchestrating our salvation. Somebody help me right there. You said, God's orchestrating my salvation. Yeah, He began it before the foundation of the world. He went on to the cross. And then He sent the Holy Ghost. It's God that's orchestrating everything. I don't want any of y'all to tell me God does see something halfway. Now let me give you, under that point, under verse 28, look at it. I see, first of all, an incredible position to them that are called. Somebody say amen. You say, Preacher Smith, how you know you're saved? Because I've been called. How you know you're in Christ? Because I've been called. Boy, somebody help me preach right there. That's an incredible position. Then I want you to know the second thing. Same verse, verse 28. I see an important practice to them that love God. I don't love God because that's automatic with me. I love God because He first loved me. But I want you to know I am the called and I do love Jesus. You said, why do you love Jesus? Because there was a before Christ, before I got saved, and I was a miserable, rotten, no good sinner. But now I'm saved and I'm in the family of God. Glory. I mean, stay on doctrine. I'm going on this deeper and deeper and deeper. Stay with me. Then I see an individual process. Man, oh man. According to His purpose. I want to tell you what. God's got a purpose for every man, woman, boy, girl in this room. And then I see an infinite process. He's working things out. All things work together for the good to them that love God. To them that are called according to His purpose. I want to tell you, God is working them out. Now hold a minute, hold a minute, hold a minute, hold a minute. To the naked eye, to your naked eye, you're thinking, my life's a mess. How can you say things are working out? Preacher Smith, you don't know the trouble I am in. My life's a mess. My marriage is on the rocks. There's things that's happening in my life. I am a mess, preacher's man. How can you even say that things are working out for me? I mean, everything's out of control, Pastor John. I know it seems that way. But God is working. Let me illustrate at least one or two. How about the life of Jacob? Jacob was a mess. You know what happened? They sent news to Jacob that they wanted Benjamin to be brought down to Egypt. And I tell you who sent for Benjamin. Joseph Smith sent for Benjamin. You know what Jacob said? Jacob said, Joseph is dead. Simeon's gone. And here's his statement. And all these things are against me. But I want you to know something, ladies and gentlemen. All these things ain't against you. If you're a child of God and you're born again and you love God, all things work together for the good. Guess what? When they got down into Egypt, they found out that Joseph was not dead, but he was prime minister of the whole thing. And they got down there and got fed and got nourished and got blessed. Hey, you say, what is that? What is that back there? That's the, well, glory. That's the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament. Am I preaching? And there's some of you ain't never tapped into this. Let me go on. I see an amazing conversion. See, I see an indubitable fact. When? Well, I tell you when. Hey, by the way, when God called you. Hey, by the way, God's only got children. He don't have no grandchildren. You're not going to be saved because your parents. You're going to be saved because you got called and you got saved. That's an indubitable fact. Then I see an intuitive foreknowledge. Before I got saved. Now I'm going to get deep here, Ted. Hang on. I want you to know something. God knew all things before everything happened. Everything I got is based on His foreknowledge. Boy, I know I'm going to be deep here. But I want y'all to get all of this. It's got me about half happy right now. Then I see an intended fulfillment. That we're, look at the Bible in verse 30. We're conformed to the image of Christ. Now hold a minute. Hold a minute. If I'm predestined to be like Christ, then how could I be lost again? Whoa. I'm predestined to be conformed to His image. So Chad, if I'm predestined to be His image and God predestined me to be like Him, ain't nothing can make me lost. Somebody ought to shout. You say, I'm a mess, preacher. Well, if you're a saved, you're just a saved mess because you're on your way to heaven, buddy. And I'm still preaching here. Then I see an imperative first. Look what it says at the end of verse 29. It says that He might be the firstborn among what? Many what? brethren. Hey, by the way, Jesus, the firstborn, he's the first rank. By the way, he's at the top. He has the preeminence. Our security is not in the Baptist church. It's not in any person. It is in only Christ. Now listen, I'm still going. I see an authentic correlation. How's this all work anyhow? I'm glad you asked. See, I believe there is a great balance between foreknowledge and free will. God can foreknow you, and he does know everybody going to get saved, and still not violate your will. And you will either receive Christ or reject Christ. Somebody help me. Amen. We've got these Reformed theologists and Calvinists. God help us, it's the truth. That's a bunch of, that outfit, there ain't nothing good going to come to that Calvinistic outfit. They ain't nothing but a bunch of high intellectuals. Think they know it all, but they don't know anything. You tell them I said that on live stream. They're going to put this on YouTube tomorrow. I hope it busts their cap right in peace. Amen, anyhow. Now notice this, I'm still here. God knows everything. I see a superlative wisdom. His foreknowledge. I see a specific will. Ooh, we were called. Now write this down. When we got called, we got elected. Oh boy. Now, if you try to explain election, it will blow your mind. But if you try to explain it away, you'll lose your soul. Because we were called. Somebody help me right there. Amen. But I want you to know, here's the balance. God so loved the whole world. Amen. Somebody help me preach. God's not willing that any should perish, but what? Then we see the spoken word. He's called. Then we see a standing worthiness. We're justified. Hold it. Look at me. How many of y'all know what justified means? Declared righteous. Or just as if you never sinned. I am as righteous as Jesus is righteous because I have his righteousness. Now, let me show you how this works. I'm going to give you about the crudest illustration. Then I see a splendid world that we're glorified. Now, hold. Time out. That's all in the past tense. Everything I preach was past tense, right? Then we called, then we justified, then we justified, he glorified. Past. How many of y'all know what glorified is? Raise your hand if you know what being glorified is. If you know, raise it. If you don't know, don't raise. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, glorified is when you get your new body. God just said, as far as he's concerned, you already got it. We're just waiting on the redemption to come. The redemption of our body. Our soul's been redeemed. One day our body will be redeemed. See, that's where a lot of people don't understand eternal security. God's already saved the most important part. That's the inner me. That's why your body goes back to the grave, sir. Because it can't go to heaven because it's got sin. But it will go to heaven one day at the rapture. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to get all this down, but hurry. How many of y'all liking some of this? Now, let me illustrate this. Boy, I am about to run. God's like a chess player. A master chess player. Back in my day, in the 60s, Bobby Fischer was a master chess player. One time, Bobby, in an expedition, had somebody like me play him, a novice. And by the way, friends, all of us sinners ain't nothing but novice. And God's the master chess player. You know what Bobby Fischer done to that guy? Watched him. Oh, Bobby Fischer made a move, and when he made the move, he knew what the next that guy's going to do. Then he made that move, Bobby made another move. Then when he made that move, Bobby made another move. When he made that move, Bobby made another move. Until Bobby got his king. You know why? Here's what Bobby done. Bobby put everything in arrangement. Every move to get the king. Somebody ought to get happy right here. You remember, how many remember when you got saved? Was it by a gospel tract? Was it by somebody preaching in the pulpit? Was you upset at the time? It was God that put all the pieces in place. But he didn't take away your will. He just put them all in place. And God didn't save you against your will. He just made you willing to be saved. Am I preaching?
Amen.
Yeah. Now, number two, I'll be done. 3 minutes. I see supernatural preservation. Y'all stay with me. Look at the incredible foundation. If God be for you. That's a supportive God. By the way, friend, if God be for you, who can be against you? Then I see a saving grace. By the way, there's only one way to be saved, and that's grace. And then I see a sure guarantee. If God be for us, who can be against us? Look at the scripture. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's election to justify? Then I see an impeccable fullness in verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified. Here, I'm going to show you two things. I see a defeated adversary. I want you to know something. When Jesus went to the cross, he stopped the devil on the head. But then I see a defending advocate. Well, somebody ought to shout. I got an advocate at the right hand of God. He's my lawyer. But he's more, he ain't never lost a case. Then I see an inseparable finality. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril. All those are fears. Ain't a fear you got going to separate you from Christ. And then he said, and my future won't either. He said, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life. I don't know what my future's going to be. I might drop dead tonight. But I want you to know I'm going to heaven. And my foes, well, glory. Somebody help me. No principalities. I know I got foes. The devil's my foe. But I want you to know my foe can't get me because nobody can separate me from Christ. You go ahead and keep on believing Arminianism and be miserable. I'm just going to live where Christ got me, in Christ. My future. Then I maintain my faith. We're living in a satanic times. How many believe that? Amen. And sometimes your mind will do tricks. See, I tell you what you need to do is replace your feelings, your erroneous feelings, with the irrevocable fact that we're in Christ. Whew. When I got saved, the Holy Spirit came in me. And seal me to the day of redemption. You said, I don't believe in eternal security even after you preach this because you've been taught wrong and you are embedded and it's in your life and you'll argue to the days long. But I want you to know you'll never be a happy Christian. You'll never be a fulfilled Christian. You'll never be an abundant Christian until you know that you are eternally secure in Christ Jesus. And I am. Ain't nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. And I know what some of you Armenians might say, so I'll just nail that right now before I leave. You say, well, no, nothing can get you, but you can just walk out. And you're an idiot. I'm going to prove that. Look here. Look at me. How many believe we're in Christ? We're in the rock, right? Wait a minute. What's over the rock? We're sealed to the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. So how can you get out if you can't get out? So why not quit enduring salvation and start enjoying salvation? Your life don't have to be miserable. Your ways don't have to be miserable. If you're in Christ, got the best I can do. Stand with me. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one looking around. How many of you tonight know that if you died today, you're 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Raise your hand high. Hold them up. Thank you. How many of you right now couldn't raise your hand for sure? You don't know for sure. You thought you was, now you don't. Well, the devil's playing mind tricks with you. I wonder how many right now you're fighting with this doctrine of eternal security. You're trying to understand it with your finite mind. And you're not just believing the word. How many struggle with eternal security? Raise your hand so I can pray for you. God bless you. I'm glad nobody is. Can I tell you something? Christianity without eternal security is weakness. And God finishes everything He starts. I'm all praying. If anybody wants to come, you come. And Lord, I hope I helped you tonight. Father, thank you for the book tonight. I just preached the book. I mean, if somebody going to not believe it, they just not believe in the book. I'm already glorified. So no, I'm not lost. Won't be lost. I'm being conformed to your image. Thank you for it. Maybe somebody's struggling tonight. Their life's a mess. Reassure them tonight in the scripture. In Jesus' name. Amen.